Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. Purport. Following in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, everyone should follow this mentality of renunciation. Whatever wealth, opulence, or whatever else we may possess belongs not to us, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate shelter of everyone and the ultimate owner of everything. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyantvamam Shantim Richati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. We should not be proud of our possessions, as expressed by Mother Yashoda herein. Quote, I am not the owner of possessions, the opulent wife of Nanda Maharaj. The estate, the possessions, the cows and calves, and the subjects like the gopis and cowherd men are all given to me. End quote. One should give up thinking, quote, my possessions, my son, my husband. End quote. Janasya moha maho yam aham mameti. Nothing belongs to anyone but the Supreme Lord. Only because of illusion do we wrongly think, quote, I am existing, end quote. Or, quote, everything belongs to me, end quote. Thus, Mother Yashoda completely surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. For the moment, she was rather disappointed, thinking, my endeavors to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless. The Supreme Lord has given me many things, but unless He takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. I must, therefore, ultimately seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam 7:9:19, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitarao Nishimma. O father and mother cannot ultimately take care of their children. Atogriha Kshetra Sutapta Vitar Janasya Moha Yam Aham Mameti. Bhagavatam 5:5:8. One's land, home, wealth, and all of one's possessions belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we wrongly think, I am this, and these things are mine. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam didati swapadantikam vandeham shri gurun shri yuta parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sabadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakanvitamscha he krishna karuna sindhu dina bandhu jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the verse again. Aham mama sao bhater esha me suto prajeshwari shakila vittapa sati gopyascha gopa sahagodanascha me yanmaya yetam kumati samegati. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I am wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I also am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my only shelter. Very powerful statements by Mother Yashoda. Very instructive, not necessarily always so easy. But we see here that the mother of Krishna, the queen of Nanda Maharaj, who's the king of Braj, is kind of humbling herself here in realization that she's not really all of these things, actually. She's simply the servant of Krishna, simply the servant of the Supreme Lord, and also completely dependent upon Him. I was thinking as I was reading this that of one incident where I was interacting with some devotees, and then one senior devotee was explaining to us afterwards. Of course, we know that in the course of devotional service, there are obstacles and impediments that we will meet and confront and face. My experience is probably most of them, or at least the most challenging ones, are the interpersonal obstacles when we have to confront and deal with other devotees. Although devotee association is the only place to be. And Srila Prabhupada explained that devotees are better than kings, every single one of them. And they're the best persons on this planet. So we should be in devotee association. But somehow or another, because we're all in the hospital, because we're all sick with this disease of illusion and misconception. I say we all. I'm sorry, I don't mean to include all of you in my illusion. I'm in the hospital and I'm very sick, but it is quite possible a few others are also in the hospital. Srila Prabhupada explained this nice analogy. So because we're all in the hospital, whether we're sick or not, we're all here. And somehow we need to become purified of these unwanted things within the heart, these anartas. I was noticing in the previous purport, the famous Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamano verse spoken by Lord Brahma, explaining how we have to tolerate the things that come upon us and accept that they're a reaction of some past impious deeds or past impious activities. So in the Association of Devotees, these challenges can be there, these interpersonal challenges, and because we generally give up the association of non-devotees, there's not many people left to help purify us of the anartas within our heart. So again, as Srila Prabhupada explained, we have to be careful not to blame the instruments of our own karma and karmic reaction, because the devotees are simply there as a means to try to bring out these things that we need to give up and let go of. So anyway, we were in one situation, and of course some differences of opinion had transpired amongst devotees, and we were all having a little meeting and discussion to try to rectify and sort the situation out. And then a very powerful statement was made, that because it was to do with the restaurant and working in the restaurant, and if anyone's ever worked in a restaurant, then it's always a challenge, frontline preaching. But working in a Hare Krishna restaurant has its own added exciting twists and turns. But we were all discussing, and then the statement was made that, you know, the real problem here is that we all think we're trying to run a restaurant and be successful in running this restaurant. Just like we all think that we're, you know, running an institution and an organization here, trying to make money and be successful. We just had the marathon and we all think that we're book distributors and we're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and that's who we are and that's the mission and that's the goal. But this devotee said, but actually we're performing devotional service and we're just here to get purified. And all the rest is just part of the means and the process by which we do it. Of course, it's transcendental, but it ceases to be transcendental the moment that we're seeing it from a material perspective. So whether we're cleaner of the bathrooms, or temple president, or cleaner of the floor, or the cook, or the secretary, or the GBC, or the guru, or whatever it is, all of these are just ways by which the heart is getting purified. They're a means to an end. They're not necessarily our identification or our identity. As Mother Yashoda here is clearly pointing out, she's, you know, I've been thinking I'm the queen. I've been thinking all these people are my servants and all of these cows, they're all mine. But actually, I'm just simply a servant of the Supreme Lord, and I'm completely dependent upon Him. And it's such a challenge sometimes in the middle of something to know how much I'm meant to be endeavoring to make this happen and how much I'm meant to be completely dependent on Krishna. Because the pendulum can swing the other way where we just sit around and think, anyway. You know, I was listening to a lecture, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that, you know, especially he was talking about grihastha life and family life. He said there's no need to really make any extraneous endeavor in your family life because your destiny is already set. So what good and what bad is meant to come to you is going to come to you anyway. So why make any extraneous endeavor? Really, the endeavor should be put into our Krishna consciousness. But how do we know how much we should endeavor and how much we shouldn't endeavor. How much do we just sit around, quote unquote, and depend on the Lord? Of course, the Damodar Astakam prayers and the Damodar pastime is very instructive and in helping us to see that Krishna is only bound by the intense endeavor of his devotee. Mother Yashoda was coming to the end of her wits, perspiration pouring from her, her hair becoming disheveled, the flowers falling, her sari becoming, you know, unraveled, just with this intense endeavor to try to bind Krishna. So from this pastime, we see that actually, it's not that we just sit around and don't do anything either. So we have to make intense endeavor. We have to do something. In fact, not just something, we have to give everything that we possibly can, as Mother Yashoda was doing. Everything that she had, she was trying to get this rope to bind Krishna. But at the same time, we have to understand that it's not dependent on our endeavor. It's ultimately dependent on Krishna's mercy. So how do you manage this high level of, commitment, and at the same time being completely detached? So being completely committed to doing something regardless of the result, and knowing that ultimately the final decision isn't up to me and it's not up to my endeavor. The ultimate sanctioning of anything in this world comes from Krishna, from the Supersoul. He's the ultimate deciding factor. But at the same time, we have to make our endeavor. And in the process, we have to not be identifying with, in a sense, this position or post or even this service, as Prabhupada says here, and he quotes the verse again and again, that this thinking that I am a book distributor, I am a preacher, I am a pujari, I am who we are is the eternal servant of Krishna, and that service may take so many forms, and it may change over the lifetime of our devotional service. We may think we are so many things, but who are we really? Ultimately, we're the servant of Krishna. And if somehow or another the form by which our devotional service takes, if we become, in a sense, so attached to it that a wrong mentality of proprietorship develops, and we begin to act more materially conscious than spiritually conscious, then we're basically in Maya, and the devotional service aspect ceases to be devotional anymore. And then it can become some mundane activity of just like having a job or like some work. Like it's no longer devotional service, it's just work. It's just a job. And the people I'm doing it with are just employees or volunteers or staff, rather than understanding each and every individual who's performing the service is also an eternal servant of Krishna. They're also a devotee, and they also deserve a level of respect. And this is the power of Vaishnav etiquette and Vaishnav culture, that really we're meant to understand and see all of these things in the context of dealing with devotees, dealing with Vaishnavas, because it is so easy to forget our position as simple jivas and servants, and also the position of others as jivas and servants, and to try to treat them with respect and appreciation and gratitude, understanding, as Srila Prabhupada said, that devotees are the best people on this planet. They're better than kings, every single one of them. So if somehow our mentality slips into something else, because in the situation, someone was explaining, but I was right. I was right about this point this person shouldn't have been doing this. This person shouldn't have done that. This person needed to fill this in and fill that in and do often all of these things. And it's correct. The person was 100% right and the other person didn't do what they were supposed to do. But by dint of the way this person then dealt with that individual from a place of being right, it completely eradicated Vaishnava etiquette and committed a serious offense. And then one has to understand that that's just the beginning of the end of one's devotional service. I was, well, very fortunate in my early years to have, and still very fortunate to have, as my mentor and very, very dear friend, Radharaman Prabhu. Not Sri Radharaman Prabhu, whom you all know, but Radharaman Prabhu. I'm sure some of the devotees know him. And he spent many hours with me because I'm simply an aparadi. And in my early days, and unfortunately even till now, perpetually becoming bewildered by the illusory energy and thinking myself something that I'm not. But he used to give me this nice example when he would chastise me. He used to explain how Krishna is just a little cowherd boy. And he just loves to play. He really likes to play. That's really what he likes to do most, is just play. He plays with the cowherd boys. He plays with the cows. He plays. He's just playful. So in that atmosphere, he likes to play and he loves friendly relationships amongst all of his devotees. He said, so if you come into the party and you start causing offense and kicking and biting and scratching and smacking Krishna's friends, then you're going to spoil the party. And he said, and Krishna won't allow that to happen. He will remove you. And then he used to do this thing where he would make his hand like a crane. And he would come in and he said he'll just pick you up and he'll just drop you outside of the association of devotees because he has to protect those devotees. He said, but the ironic thing will be that you won't see it. You'll think that you walked out. You'll think that I don't need them anyway, and who cares? And you'll just walk right out the front door. You won't realize that Krishna's just basically shifted you outside. You'll walk out proud as a peacock thinking, who cares? And then you'll be left. But he said, but of course Krishna will always be there with you and he'll always be happy to help bring you back in. But it means there'll have to be some sort of a change of consciousness and rectification. So if we want to get back into the spiritual world, then it means this is the place where we start practicing. In fact, if we're in the right consciousness, we're already in the spiritual world. We're surrounded by Krishna's beautiful devotees, and everybody likes to have fun. Everybody likes to play. We all like to sing and dance and kirtan. We like to honor prasadam. We like to serve Krishna. So this is the association of devotees. The Lord is present. The pure devotee is present. This is the spiritual world. So we have the opportunity to really prepare ourselves and practice. And this is really the ultimate gift that we've been given by His divine grace. That we're here and we have the opportunity to genuinely, sincerely prepare our hearts for the spiritual world. And that is, as far as I can understand, what we're doing here. All the other things are just forms by which we do that. And according to our different natures, then we'll take up different services. Not everyone will do the same things. Everyone, all of Krishna's unique parts and parcels, all of His divine sparks of splendor, which is what all of you are, everyone is just a little unique individual who represents an aspect of the Supreme Lord and His amazing divinity. So we're all going to be different in our own ways. And that's the beauty, how Krishna can be so amazingly diverse. And yet at the same time, because we want to be Krishna, we think everybody should be like me. We think, why don't they just see it the way that I do? Why don't they understand it the way, why doesn't everyone like what I like? Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lachman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. And that's the cause of so much friction and disturbance. Anyway, there are a few other things to say. I'm just wondering, does anyone have any comments, questions, corrections?